The mimic was always around, always vigilant, but only when it was awake. It needed to sleep sometimes, and while it kept her chained with those MP-draining shackles during its rest time, getting them off would be simple enough. Boxy had thoughtlessly given Fizzy access to her tools, and the simple locking mechanism wouldn't stand a chance against a professional artificer and her trusty screwdriver. She had both means and opportunity to run for the nearest settlement to seek shelter. But even if she knew where she was going, and she didn't, would she even make it that far? True, she was strong enough to take down a twin-tail wolf, but that was a small fry around these parts. A group of satyrs or hobgoblins couldn't possibly fail to kill her if they were to cross paths, which unfortunately seemed more likely than not. Not to mention that Boxy could run much faster and much farther than her, making it impossible to escape should it give chase. But the fear of death was not the only thing holding her back. Should a miracle occur and Fizzy finally find herself free of Boxy, what would she even do? Her life in Erosa was over. There was nothing waiting for her back there but an empty house that had no doubt already been cleaned out by the Spymaster's goons. She was most likely also a wanted criminal by now, with a bounty and a wanted poster and everything. Even if she were to defy death a dozen times over and reach civilization, she'd only be thrown in prison again. Bottom line, Boxy was the only being on the planet who even remotely appeared to give a damn about her. True, the monster abused her constantly. But it wasn't all bad. It had taught her how to defend herself, made sure that she was fed and clothed, and watched over her at night, even if she wasn't allowed nearly as much sleep as she would have wanted. Besides, this was very much a temporary arrangement, though that in itself was hardly a fun thought. Eventually, Fizzy would cease to be useful to the creature. Maybe in an hour, maybe a week, a month, or a year. But it would definitely happen. And when it did, her life would be extinguished. It seemed like the most logical, the most inevitable, the most natural way that this twisted relationship could possibly end. The only way to delay that inescapable outcome was to keep making herself useful to the mimic, convince it that there was value in keeping her around. Initially, she'd clung to the foolish hope that if she held off on escaping long enough, something might happen. She dreamed that someone might kill the beast and save her. But now she knew better. Even if they came across an adventurer capable of taking it down, it would not end well for her. After all, Boxy was exactly the type of spiteful asshole that would rather destroy its playthings than allow them to be stolen. And so the gnome had largely accepted the fact that her life would end much sooner than she would have liked. She wasn't about to expedite the process, but she saw no other way out. At the very least, she refused to be like the girl she'd killed, flailing pathetically in ignorant terror. She refused to die by a random twist of fate, a bad roll of the die, or an unlucky coin toss. On the inevitable day when Boxy finally decided to finish her off, she wanted to die knowing why. Why she had to live. Why she had to die. At that moment, her solemn introspection was rudely interrupted by an annoyingly familiar voice. Not the one that whispered in the back of her mind, but one that spoke clearly and loudly as if it were giving a sermon.
"The concept of luck, chance, chaos, whatever one wishes to call it, is a false one. A convenient lie that beings capable of thought use to comfort themselves in their ignorance. In truth, there are innumerable underlying circumstances and factors behind every seemingly random act. Each outcome, both hypothetical and actual, can be traced back to a singular point of origin, a simple decision or event that set things into motion. Yet, at the same time, free will sees to it that no model, no matter how complex or accurate, is truly flawless. That no matter how hard one tries to predict the future, the most anyone can ever hope to produce is an educated guess. But it is only through such understanding that one can hope to bend fate to their will, to bring about the outcomes they desire and avoid those they deem unacceptable. To understand and unravel the threads of causality is the duty and privilege of all who seek to comprehend this wonderful puzzle that we call a world. for it is only once we can see the strings that we may ask to have a word with the puppeteer. I have high hopes that you will be more than just another doll dancing to a tune you cannot even hear, Champion Fizzle Sprocket. P.S. You will find the lich if you go north by northwest along the mountain foothills. Look for a whole lot of dead and or dying trees, and you'll know you're in the right place. P.P.S. You should really dye your outfit something else if you get the chance. Rust isn't really your color. Something in green, perhaps.
You have received a divine revelation from the goddess of gambling. Faith plus 10. Boxy continued to rummage through the girl's belongings, unaware of the lengthy message that had just been delivered. As for Fizzy, she wasn't particularly pleased to have had her all-too-rare moment of contemplation ruined, though she had at least gotten something useful in exchange. She and Boxy finally had a direction, and she'd even received a bit of extra faith to boost her magic. While she didn't much care for that flowery, needlessly cryptic speech, she did have to admit that the god of coincidences had raised a very good point. She would look pretty damned good in green. Part 3. A monster and its pet gnome trudged along the old dirt path. They'd been heading northwest along the Sawblade Mountains, following the latter's divine revelation. Boxy had naturally refused to blindly believe that Fizzy would suddenly know where their target was, mostly because it wasn't aware of what oracles were or whether they were tasty. To avoid incurring the monster's wrath, she had invented a vague excuse about being able to smell the undead from afar. She had no idea whether Boxy believed her or not, but it had nevertheless decided to follow her suggested direction. It was marginally better than aimlessly wandering around, hoping to get lucky, after all. However, that had been several days ago, and Boxy was starting to seriously doubt whether the pint-sized paladin was telling the truth. While mimics were, by and large, a patient species, it was still irritated that they'd wasted so much time on this little adventure. The obscure time limit on its all-important quest was a serious concern, as there was no telling when Clarice might get bored and decide to terminate their arrangement. The goddess of probability seemed like an exceptionally fickle deity, so the mimic couldn't help but feel agitated by all this blasted walking. Admittedly, the two had done more than just walk. They had fought many monsters and even taken down a gang of mountain bandits. Fizzy was honing all of her new skills after having finally reached level 25 of her paladin job, while Boxy was now a level 46 mimic, bringing it ever closer to its next rank up. The previous one had broadened its horizons significantly, so it couldn't wait to see what tasty treats the next stage of its evolution would bring. The problem was that that particular checkpoint seemed impossible to reach before the quest's indeterminate deadline. However, that wasn't because it was sharing its XP with the pink-haired gnome it was currently looking after. While its mimic level would certainly have been a good bit higher otherwise, it needed more than just a level 50 mimic job to rank up. It also needed a level 10 shapeshift skill, and that was proving to be the real problem. Training that ability had been getting harder and harder, to the point where it was currently stuck at level 9. The monster would remain a greater mimic no matter its level unless it found inspiration for new and exciting things to sculpt from its flesh. Shapeshifting wasn't a craft that could be honed purely through mindless repetition or frequent killing, after all. Speaking of killing, why were there so few edible things in the area? Boxy had sensed it vaguely earlier, but it was now certain that there was a distressing absence of prey in this region of the mountain. Its question was answered several minutes later when the surrounding terrain began to change rapidly with every step. Vegetation became more and more sparse until the area was practically barren. The grass and bushes had all dried up, and the few pine trees around were reduced to nothing but bare, rotting trunks. A significant number of them had fallen over, unable to bear their own weight. It was as though the soil itself was spreading death, accompanied by the pungent stench of rot wafting on the breeze.
"Fizzy!"
Boxy called.
Yes, Boxy?
"What is going on here? Everything looks extremely untasty."
That's probably because of the blight.
"Oh. What's a blight?
it asked flatly.
It's an undead disease. Or rather, the undead disease. It saps the life from the living and bolsters the walking dead. Where there is blight, there is also undeath. The two are inseparable and grow exponentially over time as they feed off of each other.
The mimic contemplated her words.
So, blight creates zombies. Zombies spread blight, which creates more zombies and spreads more blight?
Yeah, something like that.
Oh. That feels like cheating.
Fizzy nodded.
It is, yeah. There's an entire continent that has been claimed by it, actually. The former homeland of the giants, once known as Persepia, is now referred to as the Blighted Lands. It's said the undead plague is so thick over there that even those with divine magic just fall over dead within hours.
The box grumbled ponderously.
You sure seem to know a lot about it for a mushy meat thing who never left city.
Yeah. Most of that stuff came from the Holy Scripture skill. Apparently, paladins are frequently called upon to fight the living dead, so—
So how come my dungeon didn't have this blight thing?
Boxy inquired.
There were nasty undead, but I don't remember there being any bad stuff in the air.
I don't know. Maybe dungeons follow different rules? They create life out of nothing, so maybe there's no blight with fake undead?
The mimic grumbled, making Fizzy shiver at its rising displeasure.
But can clean blight as paladin, yes?
Yeah. Holy magic can cleanse the land and water to get rid of it.
She hurried to confirm.
Then won't we run into Empire people cleaning this place?
Maybe? I don't think anyone knows there's a blight infestation in this remote part of the Sawblade Mountains yet. Subduing this thing would be a large-scale operation that would probably take, like, hundreds of people. You'd notice that many people around.
But won't it spread to the humans and call them over while we're doing the quest thingy?
It certainly wouldn't do to have humans meddling with its plans, especially if there was a chance of that terrifying spymaster arriving on the scene.
No, I doubt it. Blight doesn't exactly move that fast.
Even if the undead had conquered an entire continent, the disease had taken over a century to envelop it completely. It wasn't a poison that killed quickly, but a persistent malady that drove its roots deep into every millimeter of soil it claimed. It wasn't the sort of thing that could cover an entire town overnight, and even if the infestation were reported, the Lodrak Empire currently lacked the resources to deal with it. Any government-employed paladin, priest, druid, or shaman with the skills to cleanse the land of the undead plague was already busy trying to keep another disaster in check. While the blight was assuredly dangerous, the baffling toxins released by the calamity were a far more immediate concern. But Boxy wasn't aware of that. The only thing it had to go on was the word of a frightened gnome. It decided, however, that there was a reasonable chance she was telling the truth, seeing as the place she'd led them to was indeed crawling with the undead. Not to mention that it had spent the past few weeks systematically beating any sort of resistance out of her. It had been skeptical at first, but it was hard to deny the truth, especially when it was barreling towards them down the gravelly slope. The growling, hissing thing looked like a troll, similar to the ones Boxy had fought in the forests around Erosa, but with two key differences. Though the creatures shared similar ape-like physiques, this thing was a fair bit taller and far more decomposed. Bits of its flesh were missing entirely, and what was left of its body looked foul, rotting and crawling with maggots. It was an undead being no matter how one looked at it, though it appeared that reanimation had done little to curb its habits. Especially the one where it traveled in packs, if the five similarly ghoulish creatures behind it were any indication. The mimic was familiar with trolls and their stupidly thick hides and rapid healing abilities. It was also fairly knowledgeable about fighting the undead. After all, it had killed many of them during its assault on its home dungeon. It knew that zombies, skeletons, and specters didn't feel anything, whether it be pain, fear, hunger, or exhaustion, so hacking off a limb or two wasn't nearly enough to stop them. Admittedly, their capability for rational thought had rotted away along with their brains, but the fighting instincts and, more importantly, skills they had possessed in life remained largely intact. It was safe to say that undead monsters were far more dangerous than their living counterparts, so Boxy prepared itself for a violent scrap. It was then kindly reminded of the existence of the tiny paladin that it had been dragging along.
Holy light!
Chanted Fizzy. Your holy magic has purified the undead. Target HP minus 367. Your target has been weakened for 6 seconds. A bright, yellow-green light enveloped the zombie in the lead. Black smoke burst from its body, turning bits of its already rotting flesh to dust. A chunk of its torso and thighs disappeared, causing its left leg to snap off at the hip. The monster toppled to the ground like a stack of bricks, but it wasn't finished quite yet. It kept crawling towards Fizzy, though its movements had clearly grown more sluggish.
Holy light!
The troll's right arm and shoulder vanished, but it kept clawing at the ground as though it were trying to bite her ankles off.
Holy light!
The third spell did the trick, completing the large, ape-like zombie's transformation into a smoldering pile of white ash.
I did it!
Fizzy shrieked in glee. It was her first time fighting an undead, and it had been a smashing success. It hadn't even managed to get near her. In fairness, though, this outcome was hardly a surprise. All monsters possessed an elemental weakness, commonly referred to as their bane. Being struck by it would not only deal significant damage, but often crippled the creature as well. And given that the bane of all undead was divine magic in any form, Fizzy's victory against a single grunt-level zombie had been fairly certain. She still felt elated, though.
Boxy, look!
She pointed at the troll's remains.
I did it! I—
Shut up and help, stupid thing!
In her excitement, she'd completely forgotten that they'd run into a group of zombies. She might have taken one of them down, but Boxy had moved to intercept the other five.
Oh, right! I'm on my way!
She snatched up her wrench and dashed towards the fighting. The trolls had surrounded the mimic, but the agile spider chest was hopping about, easily avoiding their clumsy attempts to claw and bite at it. It probably could have taken their attacks and let its mend flesh skill heal the damage, but there was no reason to get needlessly hurt. Pain, while necessary at times, was by no means tasty. Fizzy barged into the scuffle, using her wrench to bash one of the creatures across the back of its knee. The limb made a disgusting snapping sound as it bent at a weird angle, forcing the creature to fall forwards. The paladin climbed onto its back, chanting her next spell and trying not to think about the squelching coming from underneath her.
Consecrate!
A ring of holy energy spread outwards, enveloping the zombies. It flowed into the soil beneath their feet, causing a gentle light to seep from the cracks in the dried-up soil. The temporary holy ground would work in the opposite way the blight did, by bolstering the vitality of the living while sapping the strength and speed of the undead. Boxy took advantage of its enemy's sudden weakness and went about beheading three of them while Fizzy crushed first the kneecaps and then the heads of two more. Their victory was so swift that they barely needed half of the 20 seconds that Consecrate's effects allocated them.
Fizzy!
The mimic called.
Hey!
The gnome squealed.
What is it, Boxy?
Good job, it simply said.
The paladin had finally shown that vaunted anti-undead prowess that Jerome had talked about. Granted, Boxy probably could have handled things on its own, but it would have taken far longer. And since the mimic expected to have to fight more and more undead as it approached the lich, it needed to ensure that its victories were fast, efficient, and easy. Merely reaching its target was going to be a grueling enough task, and the sniveling gnome would have surely failed already had it not been for the unspeakable training regime it had been putting her through.
No hesitation. No fear. Just action, it added. Attention span could use some work, but still. Good job.
Thanks, Boxy,
she replied, a quivering smile on her face. And the training had certainly worked, though perhaps not in quite the way that the mimic had imagined. Fizzy was still very much a scaredy-cat, and she'd been practically shaking in her boots the entire time. Though not because of a few silly zombies. She'd been scared shitless of displeasing the chest-shaped mass of murder, which she found to be far more terrifying than a bunch of walking corpses. The fact that she hadn't disappointed Boxy and thus might not receive a beating today was the best news she could have hoped for.
"Where to now?"
the mimic asked. Fizzy's already weak smile disappeared in an instant. Panic gripped her, as responding truthfully with "I don't know" would surely result in yet another vicious beating. And though she could heal herself now, that served merely to prolong Boxy's lessons. Her tired green eyes frantically surveyed their surroundings, looking for something, anything, to divert the violent creature's attention. Thankfully, she spotted that something almost immediately.
"There!"
she shouted, pointing into the distance.
"There's a white tower over there. The lich is probably inside."
Boxy directed its gaze to where she was indicating and could indeed spot the tall, pearly white structure in the distance. It sat atop a mountain ridge, the surrounding area gray and blight-stricken. The pale tower stood out against the dreary background, but it was so far away that from this distance it looked smaller than a grain of rice. The mimic would likely never have spotted it, had the gnome not pointed it out. Looking that far ahead, whether it was figuratively or literally, was not a habit it possessed.
"I see," it responded. "Okay, let's go."
Fizzy sighed in relief and followed. She offered a silent prayer of thanks to Murgatroyd that Boxy had bought her wild guess, though it hadn't been a completely unfounded one. There was nothing but barren, dead land for kilometers around the tower, and liches were supposed to be powerful, intelligent beings. It would make sense that the thing would want to hole up in a place like that rather than rough it in the barren wastelands. They made their way towards the tower, the walking a familiar constant after 3 straight weeks of nothing but. Now, however, they were attacked much more frequently, fighting off an average of 4 packs of zombified beasts an hour. Thankfully for Fizzy, her now much higher endurance attribute allowed her to continue marching onward without exhausting herself too much. She'd also learned that using Holy Light as an offensive spell wasn't worth the effort. It was far more efficient to use Consecrate to weaken the entire group than pummel them to paste with some good old-fashioned elbow grease. However, another enemy reared its head as they made their way into the heart of the dying land. The disease itself. Your body has been weakened by blight. Automatic HP recovery has been reduced by 2.6 per second. Stamina recovery has been reduced by 30%. Boxy was more or less fine, thanks to its abnormally high HP recovery. But Fizzy was not so lucky. The degenerative condition overpowered her body's natural healing abilities, causing her to slowly wither away as they walked. Holy Light would alleviate the ailment and temporarily restore her vitality, but it was a stopgap measure at best. Using Consecrate would cleanse the air and land around her and stave off the blight's effects, but she didn't have the MP to cast the spell every few paces. There was also the matter of provisions. While Boxy could simply snack on a carcass or two from its storage, Fizzy had it much rougher. She was carrying her own food and water, which had become contaminated from prolonged exposure to the blight. The once crystal-clear water in her water skin was now brown and murky, while the dried meat had gone way beyond bad. It was basically dirt by the time she had attempted to actually eat it. She was also fairly certain that she had seen the grilled flank twitch in her hand as if it were trying to reanimate itself. It took them the rest of the day to reach their destination, which left the pint-sized paladin thoroughly exhausted, both physically and mentally. Not only had she been denied both rest and sustenance, but she'd had to help Boxy fight off at least 200 undead. She was dreading the trip back, but at least took solace in the fact that the mimic seemed satisfied with her performance. Assuming, of course, that her earlier guess had been accurate. The stone tower ahead of them was roughly 17 meters high and 7 meters in diameter. It stood on the mountain ridge ahead of them, making it the highest point in the entire blight-covered area. The setting sun had dyed the white bricks red, highlighting the few tiny windows on its upper floors. Both Fizzy and Boxy recognized the structure. It looked exactly like the tower back in Erosa's courtyard, the very same building where the mimic had had its jobs stripped from it. This was no coincidence, as the organization known as Arcanium always used the same blueprints when building their research outposts, and this one was no different. The ruins of a short stone wall could be seen around the tower, as well as the remnants of what appeared to be a few wooden houses and shacks. Part of the courtyard was separated by what had once been a sturdy wooden fence but was now little more than a line of debris. It had probably been a place for the settlers to grow crops or maybe keep farm animals, but there were no such signs of life anywhere to be seen. The monster and the gnome cautiously approached the tower through a large gap in the outer wall. Seeing the ruined settlement up close momentarily caused Fizzy to ponder their quarry's circumstances. Had the lich they were after once been a magical researcher here? Or had it only stumbled upon this place by chance? She quickly dismissed such pointless thoughts, mentally preparing herself for what would doubtless be a brutal fight. She followed Boxy closely as they approached the tower's entrance, where the only thing remaining of its once impressive double doors was a set of empty hinges. The pair headed inside warily with their weapons out. The entrance hall was a large, open room that took up about half of the ground floor. The off-white stone walls and wooden floorboards were mostly bare, save for a picture frame with a ripped canvas hanging from the former and a few moth-eaten rugs covering the latter. The only piece of furniture in the place was a wooden dining table that had been snapped in two and left to rot in the corner. The air was heavy with dust and the stench of rotting flesh, the latter likely caused by the various decomposing remains strewn about the place. A trio of empty archways beckoned from the wall opposite the entrance. The left and right led into smaller rooms, while the stone staircase beyond the middle arch allowed access to the next floor. Heavy, metallic footsteps sounded from the rooms toward the rear of the tower. Fizzy gulped, readjusting the grip on her improvised mace in apprehension of what was to come. Three humanoid figures emerged almost simultaneously from each of the doorways and stepped into the fading day's light that flooded in from the open entrance behind her. They were clad head to toe in blackened full-plate armor that was covered in spikes, rust, and scratches. Though it looked ancient, it was nevertheless intimidating, not to mention thick enough to absorb anything the gnome's feeble arms could throw at it. Through their open-faced helmets, Fizzy caught a glimpse of their rotten faces, bits of skull showing through the random spots where the flesh had fallen away completely. These undead were clearly different from the ones outside. Not only their armor, but also their weapons made that abundantly clear. The one in the middle bore a huge greatsword that was nearly as long as he was tall, while the other two carried large, heavy shields and chipped longswords. A simple look at the way their armaments were held was enough to determine that they were not mere decorations, but tools of war that their wielders were clearly familiar with. These beings were Death Knights, a type of undead that was typically born from the corpses of skilled warriors who had died in battle against their own kind. They occasionally showed up in dungeons or places where especially bloody battles had taken place, but the vast majority of the time they were created. And indeed, judging from their rock-steady stances and loose attack formation, they were definitely not mindless corpses that charged at every living thing in sight. They had a master, an owner, one who apparently was not above personally greeting visitors to their domain.
"So, you're the one who's been making all that noise out there, hmm?"
A cold voice dripping with malice echoed through the old tower. That was when Fizzy finally beheld the lich she and Boxy had been looking for all this time. It seemed to walk calmly down the stone staircase, but a closer look revealed that that was not exactly the case. The lich did not walk. It floated. Not to mention that it was quite obviously a she. The lich had the appearance of a human woman in her early 20s, her shoulder-length black hair tied in twin side tails. The creature's face was surprisingly beautiful, except for the sickening pale purple color of her skin and the glowing red irises floating amidst her pitch-black eyes. A thick metal collar was clamped around her neck, matching the shackles that bound her wrists and ankles. Ghostly chains dangled from her various bindings, fluttering like loose threads in the breeze despite the ominous rattling noises they were giving off. As for the rest of her womanly figure, it was wrapped in a series of ragged bandages that were either dark blue or gray. It was hard to tell in the dim lighting. The wrappings did not show off a lot of her putrid-colored skin, but clung tightly to her body in a way that left little to the imagination. The cloth also tied her feet and ankles together in a way that would have made walking impossible, even if she were to take off the heavy-looking shackles. However, The most eye-catching part of the lich was the enormous gem dangling from her neck to nestle between her shapely breasts, blazing with a crimson light that matched her eyes. Those same eyes now sized Fizzy up, almost as though she were trying to taste her.
"What? A gnome?"
she remarked in a patronizing tone.
"You can't be serious.
I'll have you know I'm a paladin. I'm not afraid of some stinking undead."
Fizzy tried to put up a strong front, but it was a pathetically weak attempt. The sheer disgust she felt looking at the thing that had once been a living woman made her skin crawl in a way she never would have thought possible. It wasn't quite as bad as the near-crippling terror a displeased Boxy could inspire, but it was still its own unique blend of awful.
"Oh, a paladin. How droll."
The lich rolled her eyes.
"Let me guess. You're on some sort of righteous mission to slay me, are you not?"
Well, yeah, I am, actually."
"Huh, typical. This is why I never liked you religious types. Always with the..."
Metal flashed in the darkened room, interrupting her rant before it had even begun. "You have suffered a devastating blow. HP minus 942. Your undead constitution has prevented you from being stunned. Proficiency level increased. Physical nullity is now level 3. Endurance plus 12. She let out an unearthly shriek, even though her kind were supposedly unable to feel pain. Her apparent agony wasn't enough to stop her from turning transparent in the next instant as she fled from whatever it was that had just stabbed her in the back. Another mithril dagger swung at her as she retreated, but it passed harmlessly through her body as though she were a ghost. She drifted through her death knights, putting them between herself and the enemy she'd failed to notice, then turned to face her attacker, only to see a plain-looking wooden treasure chest. Granted, one that stood on 8 giant arachnid legs and held 2 white daggers with a pair of red tongue tentacles, but a chest nonetheless. Boxy had activated stealth and scuttled to the side the instant the lich's minions had entered the room. Not even Fizzy had noticed its disappearance as it prepared to ambush its target. The mimic had been fairly certain that the lich would respond to the intrusion of her territory, and when she had, it had taken advantage of her distraction to employ its level 9 assassinate skill. Unfortunately, despite the devastating attack, it had failed to strike her down. And now that the lich was painfully aware of Boxy's presence, there would be no chance of ambushing her again. As for the lich herself, her pained expression was quickly replaced by one of absolute shock.
"You! You!"
Which then gave way to a look of pure rage that turned her otherwise attractive features ugly enough to match her personality.
"You again?"
she shrieked.
"How many times... how many times do you have to kill me before you're satisfied, you stupid fucking box?"
Distracted by what should have been an impossible meeting, the lich had momentarily forgotten that there was a second intruder.
"This is all your fault,
holy light!"
Fizzy's magic enveloped the undead woman, transforming her tirade into a scream loud enough to deafen everyone around her. Her temporarily transparent body dissipated into mist in the next instant, melting away without a trace. The 3 death knights that were still lined up and awaiting the order to attack crumbled to dust, signifying that their master had indeed been slain. The tiny paladin collapsed to her knees, gasping for breath.
"Yeah, take that!"
Fizzy had never thought that she'd meet anyone as terrifying as Boxy. And yet there she'd been. The sheer malice emanating from the lich woman had been enough to freeze her in her tracks, but the mimic's reappearance had broken her out of her stupor. If not for that, or for the fact that Boxy's sneak attack had already caused the lich heavy damage, Fizzy would almost certainly have ended up as one of her servants.
"Get up!"
Boxy commanded. Those words startled Fizzy, as she hadn't even realized that it had gotten so close to her.
"Ah! Right!"
she exclaimed, scrambling to her feet.
"We should get out of-
Have to find the lich."
"Huh? Wasn't that her?"
"Maybe. Maybe not. Quest not done yet."
All right, Boxy. Whatever you say, Boxy.
The thoroughly abused gnome didn't even bother asking for its reasons. If the mimic said jump, then she would already be in the air before the question of how high had even popped into her head. Otherwise, she risked having her ribs broken and her jaw dislocated. Even so, she couldn't help but want to ask one thing. She knew it was a bad idea, but the part of her that thirsted for knowledge was too loud to ignore.
Boxy, did you know that woman?
The lich had seemingly recognized the monster, which, all things considered, was in no way a coincidence.
Yes.
Thankfully, the shapeshifter refrained from hitting her and answered her question in typical Boxy fashion. Concise and to the point, with no additional information or context. Fizzy was therefore forced to ask the obvious follow-up question, but she figured that it was probably safe to do so.
Who was she?
Someone I killed. Long time ago.
Indeed, this had been the second time that the mimic had brought about that woman's demise. Granted, the first time that it had killed her had been so long ago that it felt like an entire lifetime had passed since then. And yet it remembered her. How could it not? That particular kill had been rather memorable. Her body had been the last thing that it had eaten before setting out to leave its birthplace behind, at a time when it was still being influenced by that dungeon. A time when the necromancer known as Valeria Vortina had still been human. Part 4. After defeating the lich, Boxy and Fizzy set about searching the tower. Despite having killed what had appeared to be an intelligent undead being, the quest remained unfulfilled, which Boxy interpreted to mean that they'd gotten the wrong target. Seeing its old prey come back to life like that was surprising, but it didn't have the faintest idea how or why the woman had returned. Nor did it care. She had been an obstacle to be removed, nothing more. Therefore, rather than worry about the un-undead, it decided to focus its attention on looking for traces of its actual objective. The box and gnome pair began their search on the ground floor. It was just an empty space, including the back rooms where the Death Knights had come out from. This had probably been some type of reception area at one point, or maybe a guard post to keep unwanted visitors away from the upper levels. Regardless of its past purpose, it currently held no answers, so the duo moved higher. The first three floors were separated into a collection of dorm rooms, closets, pantries, and meeting rooms, enough space to comfortably house 15 to 20 people. The third floor also had a semi-open central chamber that had probably been meant for recreation and large gatherings, or perhaps even a lecture hall. All the rooms contained very little of value. Just old, dusty furniture, torn carpets, faded paintings, and filthy rags that might once have been clothes. The only halfway interesting thing that they found was a set of 5 stone busts that depicted 4 old geezers and a stern-looking granny. Probably some important dead people. Oddly enough, the sculptures appeared completely untouched by the passage of time. Fizzy, desperate to appear useful, informed Boxy that such artistic and/or enchanted antiques might be worth a small fortune to the right collector. The greedy monster immediately stowed them away in its storage before moving on. The fourth floor had once been a massive library. While bookshelves still lined the walls, they were entirely empty. Not a single parchment or scrap of paper could be seen, just rows upon rows of empty, dusty shelves. The tower's original residents must have taken all their research materials with them when they had abandoned this place. That, or its current residents had thrown them away. Ascending higher, they found a number of workrooms, or possibly laboratories. It was honestly difficult to tell. Like the library, the place had been stripped completely bare of anything useful. The only items of note they found were a few dusty tools which the gnome, being a craftsman herself, recognized as those commonly used by alchemists and enchanters. The sixth and final floor of the tower was a large hall connecting 3 smaller rooms. Each held heavy desks and even more cupboards and bookshelves. They also included an adjacent bedroom, suggesting that the ones who had lived here had been the most important people in the tower. All of the private quarters were, as expected, devoid of anything worth a damn. Even the wall safes, normally hidden by a sliding stone mechanism or painting, had been cracked open and emptied. In the end, they found no signs of active undead or anything else to indicate the presence of the lich they sought. Boxy had counted a total of 14 ash piles throughout the tower, which must have been the remnants of the defeated necromancer's other minions. It and Fizzy had spent the better part of 2 hours rifling through the place with very little to show for it. The sun had set long ago, and the gnome was forced to rely on a makeshift torch for light.
Boxy?
She stammered, just as the mimic was wondering what to do next. It had to reform its head before it could answer. The act took almost no time or effort, but doing so every time it needed to talk to the gnome was supremely irritating. It sorely missed the incredibly convenient telepathic link between itself and its familiars. Well, it was technically missing a lot of things, but right now that was the one at the forefront of its mind.
What?
And said irritation was quite obvious in the tone of its voice.
I really could use some, sleep.
Her owner only allowed her about 5 to 6 hours of sleep per night, considerably less than the full 8 she had enjoyed before her life had gone to shit. She had mostly gotten used to this new regime, but today had been especially bad. The long march, the brief but mentally draining encounter with Valeria, and the blight sapping her strength had made her so exhausted that she felt like she might just keel over. She was also starving and thirsty, but sleep had to come first.
No,
the mimic replied bluntly.
Why not?
You'll die from blight.
Given her current condition, she would succumb to the disease and wither away if she didn't heal herself every few minutes.
I think I can just consecrate a room and it'll let me recover.
No!
Fizzy looked desperate, but Boxy was having none of it. It wasn't worth the risk. It had put far too much time and effort into training the gnome to simply allow her to die of something as silly as a disease. It would be best to leave this place and resume their search elsewhere.
But...
A vicious kick to the face sent her flying across the room to crash into a stack of old chairs. Her increased endurance and vitality had made her much sturdier than she had been back when they had first partnered up, so it allowed itself to be a little extra rough when educating her.
We're leaving now!
Fizzy held back the tears in her eyes and gave up her hopes of getting a good night's rest. Not only for tonight, but for the rest of her life. That was just how miserable she felt at this point in time.
Yes, Boxy. Right away, Boxy,
she said shakily, picking herself up from the ground. She healed herself with a couple of holy lights and meekly followed the violent box as it made its way back down the stairs. Boxy spotted something amiss just as they entered the empty library on the fourth floor. In a blur of movement, it armed itself with its daggers and a shield, assuming a fighting stance. Without even realizing, Fizzy reflexively reached for the heavy wrench on her back. Putting their guard up had been a wise choice, as a certain someone was waiting for Boxy and its paladin in the large chamber. Or rather, floating, right in the middle of the room, blocking the staircase leading down to the dorm area on the other side of the library.
How?
Fizzy shrieked.
Didn't we kill you?
It was the same undead woman from a few hours ago, along with half a dozen zombified twin-tailed wolves.
You'll have to try harder than that if you want to kill a lich,
Valeria sneered. She pointed directly at the intruders.
Keep them busy.
The wolves snarled and lunged forward. Fizzy shook herself out of her stupor and prepared to cast Consecrate, but the lich had no intention of allowing her to finish. She bent forward and threw her arms behind her, letting out an unearthly, piercing howl. The noise was intense, as though 1,000 fingernails were scratching 1,000 blackboards for 1,000 years, all condensed into one singular moment. It shattered Fizzy's concentration instantly, preventing her from chanting. She fell to the ground, clutching her ears and screaming in agony, yet unable to hear the voice pouring out of her own throat. Boxy was in worse shape than she was, as it couldn't even tell up from down, nor right from left. This was because the animate chest did not hear sounds with ears, but by picking up vibrations in the air through its magical sonar. The natural ability was part of its biology, allowing it to perceive noises with far greater clarity and precision than people could, especially after acquiring the perception attribute. But the enhanced magical sense was working against it now, amplifying the ghastly screech to levels it hadn't thought possible. However, unlike a certain pink-haired gnome that had curled up uselessly on the floor, Boxy acted to make the sound go away. It withstood the sonic onslaught long enough to reacquire the position of the loudmouth in the room, then flung one of its daggers at her. The mithril knife flew true, striking the lich in the chest with enough force to make her lurch backwards and changing the nature of her scream from weaponized sound to a howl of pain. With the disturbance gone, Boxy was able to engage the six wolves. It put away its remaining dagger and rearmed itself with a couple of swords, beheading two of the beasts in an instant. They were much weaker than it had been expecting. Even if they were under the direct influence of a lich and thus far more powerful than their living counterparts, they were still bottom feeders. Boxy and Fizzy had fought similar wolves many times before, so the monster expected that they would have no trouble mopping them up. The most these cursed beasts could do was, just as Valeria had ordered, keep the mimic busy for a few seconds. As for the lich, she scowled at the shiny dagger sticking out of her chest, pulled it out, and tossed it aside. No blood dripped from the wound, nor clung to the blade. She hadn't expected that the stupid box would be able to not only endure her sonic scream, but mount a counterattack as well. Otherwise, she would have activated her ethereal body skill to avoid the blow completely. Both of those abilities were leftovers from her days as a banshee, a ghost-type species of monster. It was what Valeria had become following her death and what she had remained until her rank up into a lich. The leftover racial skill from that period allowed her to become intangible, but maintaining that state as a non-ghost rapidly consumed MP. She couldn't use it very often, but it was enough to occasionally get her out of tight spots. However, that shrieking voice was hardly her only means of attack. She held up a hand, pointing her open palm at the mimic currently tearing its way through her minions.
Frostbolt!
A brilliant white orb shot out from her outstretched hand. It left a glowing trail of blue light as it hissed through the air and hit the mimic dead on, splashing over it like a glob of goo. Your body has been frozen by magic. HP minus 351. This was different to the cryomancer magic that Boxy knew about. Instead of impaling it with enchanted ice, the spell instead instantly froze a large part of its body. It could feel itself slowing down as the ice sapped its HP while also restricting its movement. It could barely even feel the side where the spell had struck. Wondering where its own magical support was, the mimic briefly turned its attention back to Fizzy, only to realize that she had passed out from the intense sonic assault. She still had a respectable amount of perception, but lacked Boxy's well-developed mental fortitude and absurdly high endurance. She hadn't been able to withstand the strain of the sonic attack nearly as well as the murderous chest. A fact that Valeria had also noticed as she moved to aim at the much easier, and arguably more troublesome, target.
Frostbolt!
But she failed to hit the gnome, as Boxy instantly disengaged from the remaining two wolves and leapt into the path of her spell. Your flesh has been mended. HP plus 160. Your body has been frozen by magic. HP minus 288. As it absorbed the hit, it wrapped a spare tongue around the gnome and chucked it into its storage. The lich's eyes widened at the sight of the monster apparently swallowing its companion whole, but she quickly composed herself. She had already seen the mimic's storage skill in action, so she knew better than to assume that it had literally eaten its one ticket to victory. And she knew that for a fact, because a monster would only sacrifice itself to protect something if that something was immensely useful. It wasn't sentimentality or kindness, but cold-blooded pragmatism, which meant that Boxy needed the paladin in order to defeat her. In other words, it had no way of damaging her spectral body on its own. In which case, she was confident that she could easily defeat the simple creature. All she had to do was watch for surprises and manage her MP.
Frostbolt!
She was therefore quite glad that she'd practiced using her new spells. In particular, she was proud of her frostbolt accuracy. She cackled as the third consecutive hit struck the mimic. It had tried to dodge the spell by leaping to the side, but the ice encasing its body had rendered it unable to move out of the way in time. Your target's body has been frozen by magic. Target HP minus 288. Once again, the spell took a hefty chunk out of its HP. The damage, however, was significantly lower than Valeria had expected, thanks largely to the final skill granted by its mimic job. Adaptive defense. Monsters are notorious for how rapidly they can adapt to their environment, and none exhibit this better than shapeshifters. Requirements? Level 45 monster job. Shapeshift. Endurance 200. Intelligence 100. Wisdom 100. Type? Passive. Range? Self. Effects. Taking elemental damage temporarily increases your damage resistance to that element by 10%. Increases the elemental resistance granted by this skill by 3% per level of the skill. The effects of this skill last for a limited duration equal to 1 second per level of the shapeshift skill. Can only defend against one element at a time. Unfortunately, Boxy hadn't gotten as much opportunity to develop the ability as it would have liked, which left the skill at only level 2. Still, reducing the power of a spellcaster's attacks by a sixth was certainly nothing to sneeze at. It was a good thing it had decided to hide Fizzy away, or she would have died in 2 hits. Maybe 3 if she was lucky. As to why the mimic had chosen to protect her, it was because the gnome was its best shot at actually killing the lich, just as Valeria had deduced. Although it would appear that such an outcome was rapidly becoming an impossibility, as the best way to fight a caster was to kill them before they even realized an enemy was aiming for them. Fizzy was unfortunately necessary to ensure the successful completion of its quest, but there was no telling when she might wake up. Just then, while Boxy had its tentacles full blocking the frost bolts with a bronze-plated shield, it suddenly had an epiphany. All the mass of teeth, violence, and murder needed was some time to think and strategize in order to make use of its idea. But it couldn't do that in its current situation. It needed to run, but the stairs leading down were all the way on the other side of the decrepit library. Going out that exit would be difficult, but that was by no means the only way out. Having made up its mind, the mimic leapt backwards and skittered up the steps, past the 5th floor and all the way to the top. It barged into the wide hall connecting the 3 rooms, only to find Valeria already waiting for it.
"Did you think you could get away?"
Boxy realized that she must have phased through the floors to block it off, and her final 2 pets were already clambering up the steps behind it, completing the pincer attack.
"Frostbolt!"
The lich resumed her assault, but Boxy hopped nimbly to the side, narrowly evading the glowing projectile. Those few seconds it had bought while climbing the stairs had allowed the mimic to fully recover its HP and regain most of its mobility. It needed to avoid getting frozen again, or it was bound to turn into an ice cube.
"Ice flows!"
Valeria tried a different spell, which covered the ground beneath the spider chest with a thin sheet of ice, clearly intent on forcing the monster to slip. Boxy, however, had no intention of allowing that and jumped onto the wall before the ice could fully form. It crawled steadily along the vertical surface, dodging the frost bolts the lich continued to fire at it. The mimic circled halfway around the edge of the hall, ducking through one of the side offices to reach the adjacent bedroom's balcony. It sprouted a pair of bat-like wings and leapt into the night, but was unable to properly gain control of its fall. It slammed into the ground. Hard. You have suffered blunt force trauma. HP minus 311. Your flesh has been mended. HP plus 160. The mimic took a moment to dig its rectangular body out of the dirt and began circling the tower, searching for something. The nature of its earlier revelation was simple. The floating woman was indeed the lich it was looking for, or so she claimed, which meant that she was the target of its quest after all. But the task in question said only that it had to defeat her, not kill her. The mimic had assumed that those 2 things were synonymous, but that clearly wasn't the case. If anything, killing her had only made things worse. In the few moments it had to think, it realized another thing. The way that she had come back to life, in perfect condition, with memory and skills completely intact, was eerily familiar. Not to mention that that body of hers made no sense on the inside. It was highly likely that she was a being somewhat similar to a demon, something with a conjured physical form and an immortal soul. Even if it were to kill her again, there was a good chance she'd only come back. That was okay, though, because it just had to defeat her. Circling the tower's base, it finally spotted what it was looking for, the set of heavy steel doors that led into the basement. Boxy should have realized it earlier, but the tower's layout was identical to the building where it had had its jobs taken from it, which meant that it also had a basement filled with various magical reagents and ritual markings. If the source of that lich's rebirth was anywhere, that would surely be the place.
Frostbolt!
Boxy hopped back from the doors the instant it heard the chant. Valeria was directly overhead and floating gently downwards as she prepared yet another spell. She had found the mimic quickly. Too quickly. Boxy had broken from her line of sight, but she'd already managed to find the shapeshifter. Regardless of how she had done so, she was obviously quite intent on keeping it out of the basement. This only served to reinforce the creature's ad hoc theory, but the mimic still needed to distract her long enough to get through the door. Once more, it reached into its storage and flung something directly at her. Valeria only caught a glimpse of the object, which looked to be a metal cylinder about the size of a sword's handle. She had no idea what it was, but immediately turned incorporeal anyway, wary of being damaged by whatever the thing was. Unfortunately for her, it wasn't designed to inflict damage. It was a flashbang, a leftover from Boxy's artificer days. It did exactly as its name suggested as it flashed and banged right in the lich's face, bathing the area around the tower in brilliant white light. Valeria screamed and covered her eyes, but it was already too late. Boxy had noticed that, even when she was incorporeal, she still relied heavily on her sight. And, as it had just learned firsthand, where there existed a sense, there was also a way to confuse it. It took the lich several seconds to regain the use of her eyes, but her vision was still clouded by colorful blotches. By the time she had recovered enough to see properly, the mimic had already picked the lock and was nowhere to be seen. Using her detect life skill allowed her to track the monster's life force through the walls and confirm that it had already gone inside and was currently scampering around the interior.
No,
she muttered.
No!
She sailed forward, desperate to intercept the hateful creature. But even at maximum speed, she wasn't nearly fast enough. While she could float through solid objects, she could only move at a rate comparable to a low-leveled human's running pace, which was much, much too slow when compared with the eight-legged freak box. She could feel the hastily raised minions she'd left in the basement as a last line of defense being taken out one after the other. If she'd still had control over the five Death Knights down there, they could have easily stopped the stupid box, maybe even killed it. But that was merely a what-if. Her rash, vengeful actions had weakened her preparations. She had also underestimated her opponent. Not its combat strength. She was still confident that she could beat it when it came to a direct fight. However, the simple-looking monster had turned out to be a lot more resourceful than she'd thought, especially when it came to giving her the runaround. Still, she couldn't give up. She rushed through the basement and headed for the far corner of the large chamber. She arrived just in time to watch in horror as the mimic coiled its tongue around the shiniest item in the decrepit room. The thing that had caught its attention was an egg-shaped object about 10 centimeters wide and 15 tall. Its smooth, glassy surface was a rich blue color that would put even the brightest sapphire to shame. An intricate golden pattern of thorns, crows, skeletons, grasping hands, and other grim imagery danced across it, covering roughly half of its brilliant surface. But the highlight of its design was the golden skull depicted on one side, a duo of shining, blood-red gems faceted inside its eye sockets. The expensive-looking item had been held on a custom-designed silver tripod, which had been placed on a waist-high stone pedestal. Its extravagance and pride of place clearly marked it as an object of some importance. It was also the only thing in the entire tower that seemed to be worth more than a few coins, so it stood to reason that it belonged to the lich. And it was indeed both hers and important, for the thing was her phylactery, the vessel that held her undying soul. It was through this object that she was able to regenerate her physical body as many times as she wanted. However, it was also her weakness. Not only would her power weaken if she were to stray too far from it, but breaking it was the only way to truly destroy her. Losing the linchpin binding her to this mortal coil would be nothing short of checkmate. Time seemed to slow as she tried desperately to stop the mimic, but it was clear she wouldn't make it in time. Just how in the world had the moronic box figured out her weakness right in the middle of the fight? It certainly hadn't known before, so why had it suddenly made a beeline for the phylactery? And for that matter, how had it managed to unlock the damned door so quickly? The questions rushed through her thrice-rotten head during the split second it took for Boxy to toss the shiny thing into its open maw, all of which could be answered with a single word. Experience. The lingering knowledge of demons, the trauma of having its jobs and skills severed from it, the insight granted by the lockpick skill, the time it had spent as an artificer, its aptitude for confusing and befuddling its opponents, and, last but not least, the instinctive need to covet and collect all things shiny. All of these factors had conspired together to make what happened next, in this singular point in time, a reality. The storage portal inside Boxy's maw snapped shut, stowing away its prize. With the link between her soul and body severed, Valeria's physical form fell limply to the ground. It then started crumbling, returning to the dust whence it came. The mimic, understandably, had no idea exactly why that had happened, as it had in no way deduced the phylactery's purpose. It had come here looking for some sort of ritual circle or glowing sigil, similar to the ones it had used during demonic rituals. When it had failed to find anything like that in the mostly empty basement, it had decided to pocket the shiny thing while it had the chance, then run away with all due haste. Thus, seeing the lich instantly collapse and disappear caught it more than a little off guard. Although certainly not unwelcome, this sudden development was completely outside the mimic's scope of understanding. It just seemed like a massive coincidence, which hinted that this outcome was the very thing Christie had had in mind when she had sent Boxy on its errand. But the mimic didn't have to wait to learn if there was any merit to its assumption. Because not only was the Defeat the Lich quest now marked as complete, but Boxy once again found itself sitting at a table in an endlessly white room. With Jill, the applauding goddess of uncertainty, for company. Part 5.
"So," said Paul, "I suppose congratulations are in order."
The mimic, who had once again been forced into the shape of a young child, just smiled dumbly in response.
"What just happened?"
"You defeated the lich."
"How?"
"I'm sure you'll figure it out shortly."
The three-tailed iguana snapped its windows, as per usual, enveloping Boxy in a bright light and flooding its consciousness with a series of messages.
"Level up! Level up! Level up! Level up! Congratulations! You are now a level 25 warlock. Intelligence, plus 50. Mental fortitude, plus 50. Endurance, plus 50. Proficiency level increased. Summon familiar is now level 7. Intelligence, plus 14. Wisdom, plus 7. Mental fortitude, plus 7. Power overwhelming is now level 6. Intelligence, plus 24. Demonology is now level 6. Wisdom, plus 2. Mental fortitude, plus 2. Crystallized magic is now level 5. Intelligence, plus 10. Wisdom, plus 10. Congratulations! You are now a level 12 artificer. Dexterity, plus 24. Wisdom, plus 24. Perception, plus 24. Proficiency level increased. Clockwork expertise is now level 3. Dexterity, plus 6. Perception, plus 6. Explosives handling is now level 2. Dexterity, plus 4. Wisdom, plus 4. Feat of strength performed. You have unlocked a new perk. Hero of Chaos. Chaotic disposition is now level 1. Agent of Chaos is now level 1. Essence concealment is now level 1.
The mimic stood with its mouth agape for a good minute, while its mind underwent what could only be described as a reboot. Its newly restored mental capacity allowed it to look at the past 3 weeks of its life with a fresh set of eyes. The escape from its flying cage, Fizzy's training, their journey through the woods and subsequent trek through the blight, everything up to the confrontation with the lich.
"All better?" Laquisha asked,
seeing the thoroughly enlightened look in its red eyes.
Yeah, I think I understand now.
Granted, it still didn't know what a phylactery was and merely thought of the shiny egg as the lich's real body, but it was a close enough guess. It had also deduced that there was a good chance that she might reappear the instant it removed the gilded egg thing from its storage. For all it knew, she even had the power to materialize inside its pocket dimension, so it would need to be extra careful when accessing that particular space.
Good. Then I can skip having to explain things. The undead are so predictable that the topic bores me to tears.
Zaffron?
What?
Thank you.
Don't mention it, Theodore said with a wave of his liver. It all happened as expected in the end.
This was only the second time that Boxy had expressed genuine gratitude towards another being, but the recipient didn't exactly seem thrilled about it. In fact, the mimic couldn't help but notice that the bizarre entity's attitude had thus far been much less enthusiastic than their first meeting. Shouldn't Malfagar be happier, considering that his divine will had been carried out?
Are you disappointed that I won?
A little, yes. But it's nothing personal. You fought, struggled, and survived, just as I predicted you would. The odds were very much in your favor, even without the gnome, but her presence made this outcome the overwhelmingly likely one. I was merely hoping to see something unexpected. But I suppose you can't surprise me all the time.
Boxy had to admit, the god had a point. The mimic was tricky, resilient, and possessed a good set of instincts, so it would have figured out the lich's weakness eventually. It could have found her much sooner, too, if Fizzy hadn't slowed it down. Though she had helped to make the first bout something of an easy win, in the end the tiny paladin's presence had been little more than a convenience at best, or a distraction at worst.
If you knew I would succeed, then why send me at all?
Because, my newly chosen hero, a prediction is different to a prophecy. Even if the chance of failure is slim, it is nonetheless there. You would do well to remember that. No matter how good I am at reading between the lines, that little thing called free will remains an enigma wrapped in a mystery, shrouded by unknowable variables. Even to someone like me.
What's an enigma? Is it tasty?
Ha! Ha-ha-ha-ha!
The god of chance let out a hearty laugh that seemed to cheer him up a bit.
Sorry about that, he said with a mosquito on his rainbow. I almost forgot who I was talking to. You probably don't care about the infinite realms of probability, do you?
No, not really.
Boxy was only curious as to why Cole was disappointed that it had survived, even if its mental faculties had been restored to what they had been prior to its capture. It was still a colossal simpleton. A simple, because it was boring, would have sufficed as an answer to its query.
That's fine. I just have a habit of rambling on sometimes. Ignoring me is really for the best.
Okay. But can I try casting a spell? I'm gonna see if it still works right.
Sure, go right ahead.
The child-shaped monster held out its hand and chanted its most basic spell.
Shadow Bolt!
A mass of hissing darkness appeared, flying into the distance before fizzling out of existence, just as it should have. Boxy's face lit up with a bright, slack-jawed smile sweet enough to give someone cavities. It giggled and hopped in its seat, clearly excited.
Say, Boxy, Tim interrupted its little celebration, could you cast that again?
The request was a little odd, but it was no big deal, so the mimic gladly complied, firing another shadow bolt into the infinite white void. But rather than flying off into the distance, it swerved around as though it were a living thing and flew straight at Jack. It froze in the air directly in front of him, as if time had stopped for the volatile lump of eldritch energy. It was a strange thing for Boxy to see, but it served to remind the animate chest that Randy was indeed a god, and as such had powers that mere mortals could not fathom. Though that did not exactly explain why the deity was so interested in the frozen projectile.
Huh. Well, what do you know? It really is like that after all, he muttered.
What is?
Boxy asked.
I always thought your shadow bolts were a bit weird, but I wasn't sure why until just now.
Weird how?
I mean, Look at it!
Dana waved her guitar legs excitedly.
I wasn't able to tell just from the remote viewing, since it spins around so fast as it flies, but the spell's payload is shaped like a cube. A cube!
So?
Asked the mimic, unable to grasp the significance.
So? So why is it in that shape specifically? Shouldn't it be a sphere?
Dunno,
Boxy shrugged.
I just casted it like normal.
Wait, don't tell me. When you imagine gathering a mass of shadow and throwing it at people, what sort of mental image do you use?
A chest.
A chest? Why a chest?
Because it needs to be a perfectly balanced shape. And square chests are perfect.
Brandon had realized almost immediately how idiotic the question was, considering who he was asking. But Boxy's answer wasn't quite what he'd expected.
Huh. A chest! I see, I see. So it was that, after all.
Once again, much like the time it had sacrificed a succubus as a pure maiden, the mimic's unorthodox perceptions and preconceptions had slightly